I was giving you a false sense of security in that I hid my sermon text under the lectionary, but the grace of God isn't that strong on me that I can't tease you with something like 10 pages, and I hope you're all settled. Don't worry, it is in large print. So, good morning, and it is good to be here and to seek to share the Word of God with you. And first, can we pray? Come, Holy Spirit, our hearts and words inspire. Rise up within us and stir our hearts and understanding with your love. In Jesus' name we ask it. This morning's readings are pregnant with meaning. The problem with them is choosing what to dwell on and what to lightly skip over or ignore. For what is shared in a sermon must reach beyond the physical ears to the ears of the soul and on into the ears of our regenerated spirit, the dwelling place in us of the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. What I saw surfacing as I read and reread the readings was the Spirit of the Lord through Isaiah calling to us, cry aloud, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet. And through Paul, not to proclaim the testimony of God with lofty, plausible words of fashionable and politically correct human wisdom, which is ultimately folly, leading to nowhere, but to proclaim in demonstration of the Spirit and of power nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Through Matthew, hearing Jesus proclaim, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that, two things, they may see your good works. And as a consequence of that, give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Sobering and testing words, which led me into an uncomfortable area to think about our good works and our witness to Christ and Him crucified as English-speaking Christians here in the Czech Republic. What are our functions in God's economy in this country? Is it to simply look after our own spiritual and parochial interests? Or have we also an obligation before the Lord, in conjunction with other Christian congregations, to reach out to all English-speaking people here, especially in the city, through our social contacts, social encounters, and places of work? The message we preach is seen in our actions, our attitudes, our outlook. Words come in answer to the questioning of the hope that is within us. The thought struck me, if we English-speaking Christians and English-speaking congregations in Prague were as King Belshazzar weighed in the scales, would we be found wanting? Do we have behaviors and characteristics that distinguish us from other people who believe in nothing but themselves? What are our distinguishing marks? Or do we have any left? Or might it be, and God forbid, or might it be that deep down the little English-speaking congregations have thrown in the towel to the secular atheistic wisdom of this age and be content to have, as Paul says in 2 Timothy, the appearance of godliness, but denying its power? It's time to examine ourselves and our convictions as Lent approaches and rediscover the power in Christ's gospel, rediscover the power of love, the power of the gospel to regenerate, to renew, and transform all lives at all levels. Looking down, it's good that we have active contact with the work of the Salvation Army and that the Wheelie Bins testify to our willingness to share what we have with others. Let us never tire, as a congregation and as individuals, of searching out ways for Jesus to work through us in the city. This attitude of mind and spirit is very much in keeping with the Isaiah reading, which wonderfully outlines what our Lord expects from us. It's a wonderful mission statement. What are we to do? It's there. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, to share our bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless into our house, to see the naked covered, and to hide not from our own flesh. Then, what can we anticipate happening to and for us as a result of these actions? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, our healing shall arise up speedily, our righteousness shall go before us, and the glory of God, I'm changing the words a little, shall back us up. Then as a result, we shall call, and the Lord will answer. We shall cry, and he will say, here I am. And we shall be like a watered garden. Our light shall rise and our desires be satisfied. Our journey with God is a supernatural and eternal journey, activated, fueled by grace and faith, directed by the Holy Spirit of Christ, who is the initiator, the maintainer, the finisher of our salvation. Like Jesus, our lives are no longer our own, full stop. Our lives are for others, full stop. Growing to love our neighbor as ourselves is one of the greatest miracles in our life's journey. It is actions rather than words that open doors for the gospel among those who do not believe. In action can we see power and credibility. Let the words follow as people inquire. We are to let our light shine before others so that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. There have been times when I have shared the gospel with folk who do not believe. The aspect of this experience which remains with me is the look of incredulity I saw on some of my friends' faces. The gospel story and the biblical worldview was totally totally alien and foreign to their concepts of reality. It was from another planet and made no sense. It was nonsense. It was folly. The wisdom of the age, and let me stop the sermon here, we have really must put time aside to look at that concept, the wisdom of the age. We must, because we must become aware of what glasses, what filters we view reality through. Start again. The wisdom of the age, which reduces reality to only what can be apprehended by the senses and measured by scientific method. And this militates against the comprehension of the gospel, which is from the dimensions of the supernatural. Paul, in the passage from 1 Corinthians, explains why this is the reaction. The natural person, the unbeliever, does not accept, full stop, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are all folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And the Spirit we have received is not the spirit of the world, but God's own Spirit, so that we may understand the lavish gifts God has freely given us. So, our faith does not rest in the wisdom of men, human wisdom, human philosophy, but in the power of God. And folks, this is a wonderful reassurance that ultimately our faith is secured not by us and our efforts, but by the power of the Almighty God. Christian wisdom, the secret and hidden wisdom of God, imparted to us. And it's like it is steadily downloaded through the revitalizing Holy Spirit within us. Finally, and this is my first reference to finally, look at the last line. Look at it, go on. The last line of Corinthians. I was a teacher, you know, and I can tell by your eyes if you're reading the last line. The last line. Paul hits us with the staggering revelation that the believer has nothing less within him or her than the mind of Christ. This truth has also staggering implications for each of us who believe. It means that the believer lives a life under God's actual influence. The Holy Spirit indwells and enlightens us, infusing us with the mind of Christ. And as believers, we bear responsibility to yield to the Spirit's leading, allowing the Spirit to transform our hearts and renew our minds. As we grow into Christ, we progressively attune ourselves to the Lord's will, plan, purpose, and perspective. It's crazy, but John tells us that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. It's a mind-blowing mystery. Because we are, not will be or were, we are, through some mystical union, We are, as we are here in this church, we are at this moment in Christ. We have died with Christ. We have risen with Christ. We are seated in the heavenly places with Christ. We grow in the faith of Christ. We grow in the heart of Christ. We grow in the compassion of Christ. We grow in the power of Christ. And we also grow in the sufferings of Christ. This is the power we need to generate the light Jesus demands in today's gospel. We are in our daily activities to become intimately linked with Christ, to seek and save that which is lost, to embrace as our own the perspective Jesus has towards humility, towards obedience, to grow in compassion for a damaged world and a flawed humanity, and especially to embrace as our own his prayerful dependence on God our Father for everything. Brothers and sisters, I am very happy to assure you that our life in God is an eternal adventure. Central to its success is grounding ourselves in the knowledge of who we are in Christ. This establishes our status, our pedigree, and our entitlements. Children for whom the Father, or children for whom the Creator of the universe, the Creator of all that is seen and unseen, we can call him Tata. I prefer the Czech to the English Dada. And of course the pop group destroyed the word Abba. So I have found comfort in Tata. It has a beautiful heart feel in it. And as children of God, through the Spirit, we progressively have access to the thoughts of God. For we humans, with a regenerated spirit, are a new creation. And incidentally, the new creation here indicates, the word new, indicates something that has never before been created. We haven't been done over. We are a new creation. No wonder Paul calls us aliens. And Peter tells us that we're sojourners and exiles here. And then I have a note down at the bottom, conclude. And I have nothing written. Except the instinct of the teacher surfaces regularly. So I was setting some homework for you to be completed before Ash Wednesday. I shall look forward to you approaching me on matters. The homework. A new litany. Let's create a new litany. A new prayer. Think about it. I've been working on it, and I'm sharing it with you. And the title of the prayer is What I Am in Christ. And you will come up with a wonderful and very surprising list that will build your soul and raise your spirit. I am righteous in Christ. I am forgiven in Christ. I am redeemed in Christ. I am loved in Christ. I am justified in Christ. I am at peace in Christ. I am restored in Christ. I am blessed in Christ. I am complete in Christ. I am free from fear in Christ. I am free from dread in Christ. And go down, and you will soon see who you are and what you are in the Lord Jesus. Amen.